You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, welcome back to another episode, an exciting episode in the Sound Atlas, because this is episode 99.
Hey.
You've made it. Congratulations, sir. You're episode 99. You've almost reached 100. Like, wow. That's a lot of episodes. Ain't it? My guest today, on location at Mellow Mass Music and More, where all the things that are music are cool and beyond, is Mr. Richard Adams.
Hey.
Welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Happy
you
to be here.
You are the guitarist and lead vocalist of Cloud Ruler.
That's correct.
And what's really cool about capturing your episode of the Sound Atlas right now is Cloud Ruler is blowing up.
I don't know about all that.
I do know about it because of the names out there and like people are talking.
Yeah, we're,
so that's good.
Cool. Yeah, it's good to hear. We, you know, been playing a little over a year. We just put out a record close to end of last year.
So okay, so band formed about late 2018, 2019.
Yeah, we played our first show in November of 2018.
Okay,
so yeah,
squeaked in right at the
just barely. Yeah.
So about a year or almost a year, give or take. That's great. Is this your first band in the Bowling Green music scene?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the beginning then, because I'm sure there's much to talk about leading up to current day. But I mean that sincerely. Like, people talk about it. I've seen a lot of stuff on social media, and I don't think it's necessarily coming from you. I think it's a lot of people. Other bands and stuff are talking about Cloud Ruler. Oh, and it's a great name, so I'm excited to talk about that as well. But we're going to go back to the beginning and ask you the awesome question.
Sounds good.
Of where are you from?
I am from Princeton, Kentucky.
Princeton?
Yeah, it's a small town, kind of close to like the Land Between the Lakes area.
Oh, okay. Going toward Murray.
Yeah, heading that way. It's probably 30 minutes before you get to Murray from here.
Yeah, okay. It rings a bell now that because I've driven through it.
Yeah.
We played Murray recently, my band,
and
it was the Mellow Mass Music and More of Murray.
There you go, yeah.
Which I've drawn a blank. That cool record store in the old shopping center that looks like it's 1968, and it's like the only thing in it.
Yeah, Murray's a cool little town. It's got little pockets here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a cool store,
yeah,
and they had live bands, and it very much reminded me of Matt's for anyone that's local here.
Right.
Good Lord, why am I forgetting the name of that venue? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I feel like if I heard it, maybe. I know like some bands who play.
Usually this happens with people I interview, but it's my turn.
Sorry, man. I'm trying to come up with it. But.
Well, anyway, there's a really cool record store in Murray.
Yeah.
But you're from Princeton.
Yep.
Which is very close by, and that would be the southern western part of the state,
right,
which is still kind of bordering on Tennessee.
Yeah,
but you're also kind of close to Missouri, so did you have any, when you left Princeton, where would you normally go for like big city stuff?
So we would the closest thing we had is like Paducah,
right,
which isn't a big city.
No, well,
it's got,
it's decent.
Yeah, it's got stuff going on.
Yeah,
at least. So that was probably the
Paducah's the river city. It's on the Mississippi, which is the only part of Kentucky that touches the Mississippi River. It's just a small section of our state.
Yeah.
So we don't have the folklore like all the other great states of musicians that come down the Delta and get off on a boat and all that stuff.
Well, Paducah's a cool city. I like it a lot. I like being close to it.
Right.
If it was bigger than that, it'd probably be Nashville. It was about 2 hours from Nashville.
Okay. Did you ever go to like Clarksville or anything like
that?
Yeah,
a little bit. Clarksville's about an hour and a half from where
I am.
So there's some stuff there too.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
So, musically speaking, growing up, what were you into? What was in and around your area to even bring music to your attention?
We don't have a whole lot of, in terms of like a live music scene in Princeton. You know, there's a lot of like bluegrass and stuff around there, which is really cool. When I was a little kid and growing up and stuff, I was mostly listening to a bunch of classic rock and, you know, some of that.
Did you have like a radio station there or
most
anything
of
close
country
by?
There was a rock station out of Paducah.
Okay.
Again. And then like you sometimes catch like some of the Murray stuff. It's like a little college town, so they play some
it is
like
Murray State
and, yeah, Murray
which
State,
is kind of the forgotten there's so many little colleges in our state, but we're known for Louisville and UK, and of course Western is the big three, I think.
Right.
But yeah, Murray State gets overlooked, college town, not far from Austin Peay, which is in Clarksville, Tennessee, and that's booming. I know they have a decent little music scene.
Yeah.
But did any of that kind of come across your radar growing up?
We had, so I played in a metal band for a little while, kind of a metalcore, that kind of thing. And we played in Evansville a good amount.
All right.
In Indiana. We played a little bit in Clarksville, mm-hmm. at the warehouse.
That's a nice venue.
Yeah.
It looks really shitty on the outside, then you get in and you're like, wow.
It's a cool spot, and a lot of people who are like really into some heavier stuff come out there, which is something that's kind of hard to find around here. Sometimes you got to catch little windows of heavier bands and stuff. So.
Heavy metal bars have never really truly been successful in Bowling Green, even though there's a lot of demand for it. They still prefer to, I guess, go to the bigger cities.
Right.
I've never quite understood it. Or maybe they just don't like the heavy metal bands that are local.
It could be.
It could be a combination.
There's some more, like, just even in the last year, I think there's been a lot of, like, heavier stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I first moved into Bowling Green, I wasn't aware of too many, like, metal bands or anything like that. So I think it's kind of a growing thing around here.
It comes in waves, I think. Like, there's, I call it the roller coaster effect of how things will go up and down. The clubs kind of do it, and the styles of music that are more dominant at the time, it kind of fluctuates.
Right, that makes sense.
I mean, there's always the consistent, there's always cover bands, there's always country bands, there's always classic rock bands, there's always that, but then like the alternative and the heavy, and like it just kind of fluctuates. Sometimes there's 10 bands, sometimes there's two. It's weird. I don't know. That's just my perspective. I might be wrong.
No, I think that makes sense. It's been cool to see some more, just like, you know, general hard rock and metal. I think is, you know, kind of like I said, coming up a little more, which is cool.
When you talk about that, was that a dominant thing in your life growing up?
Yeah, I would say.
What attracted you to music?
I don't know. I guess I always remember being a little kid and listening to like a lot of AC/DC and like Thin Lizzy and bands like that. Mm-hmm. And I always just kind of like the energy of it.
The classics. Like,
yeah, I think that was probably the first big thing I really like grabbed onto. It was just that, you know, energy. But
you,
that kind of
you mentioned that you were in a heavy rock band. So when... Like, well, first of all, how did you get started in playing music? So you grew up a fan. It came into your life at a fairly early age. And
yeah, I think not really seriously, but I think I first kind of picked up a guitar around like 8.
Oh, okay.
So I was pretty little. I started getting like really into it and practicing pretty consistently at like 15, maybe.
Common age.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And that was at the time when I was around 15. I was listening to a lot of metal. And
like what though? Because I don't think of Thin Lizzy as metal.
Well,
you're just saying
fair.
In general music was around.
I guess it kind of starts, you know, with some of the heavier Sabbath stuff.
Okay.
And then you get into more of the sludgier and kind of doom stuff. I got really into Caius.
Oh yeah.
For a while, that was kind of where I got started.
I was late to that train.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd been out for a while, and somebody turned me on to them, like, I don't know, years after they'd been out, and I'm like, my God, what? Why did I not know about this when I was younger?
Yeah,
Caius is awesome.
But yeah, so more of that realm of metal, not as much like the super aggressive stuff, but just the kind of like lower, slower, you know.
So between getting a guitar at around 8 to about 15 and taking it serious, did it come natural to you? Did you get lessons, or what was your evolution to becoming talented enough and serious enough about it for you to go, I'm going to do this?
I think I started like a lot of people. You know, I had a family member show me a couple of chords. And kind of did what I could with that for a few years, and then started probably just trying to learn rock riffs and stuff when I was 13 or 14.
Like, the boys are back in town?
Boys are back in town, yeah. I remember being really having a phase where I was like, I have to learn every big Black Sabbath riff for a little while, and that was whenever I got to the point where I started struggling with that is probably when I sought out. I took some lessons off and on.
But that's like holy grail riffage, you know?
Absolutely. And I think people overlook that stuff a lot of the times as simplistic, but there's so much little stuff that goes into like making a riff, you know, sound.
That's true.
Interesting, you know.
It is very true. I mean, it does sound easy.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
No.
I mean, even the fact that they just kind of stood there, you know, but I get that.
Mm.
So that had a huge impact on you.
Yeah, for sure. I also remember, I guess when I started playing too, I was listening to with my dad a lot of like Johnny Cash, stuff like that. So I was maybe trying to do some of that, you know, kind of just country picking and stuff. I've kind of just recently gotten back into that and wanted to start playing with that kind of stuff more.
But at least the door was open.
Yeah,
you had
a
broad spectrum of things around, but you personally went towards the heavier side.
Right.
And so when you say heavy, earlier you said the band you got in. Like, what was the first band like you got into? Garage bands just, you know, messing around, or did you actually form a band?
So I play... For a long time, it would be like, since everything was kind of few and far between, the town I came up in. We'd get like a you know, group of buddies together, and we'd put together a set of, you know, covers and stuff. Like when I was in high school, but when I was probably about 18 is when I started playing in like legit bands. We were trying to do something with it. I played in a band out of Madisonville for a little while called Dear Madness.
That's good.
We played, and it was fun. It was a little more like a lot of the metalcore kind of, you know, that Killswitch Engage kind of style.
Okay.
Which wasn't something I was like super familiar
with.
I think
that's what you said earlier was metalcore, and I forgot what terminology was, but now it makes sense.
Yeah.
I've seen Killswitch live, and I get like, it's not exactly my cup of tea, but I can still hang with it.
Well, and that's kind of where I was at with it. And so it was a lot of fun to jam with those guys and, you know, and get into some of that. And I was playing bass in that band.
I mean, it's good music, and people take it very serious, but there's something about it that just didn't, I don't know.
Mm.
I lean more organic in the Sabbath world and stuff than the new metal with the... You know, the guitars just have that grinding tone kind of thing. I don't know how to explain it.
That's me too. And I can listen to it and get really into it. I would have such a hard time trying to write stuff that sounded, you know, unique and it wasn't just kind of like cookie cutter.
Right.
So I think that was kind of where that
fell
through.
Man, speaking of
me.
Cookies. Hey, Matt, you got any cookies? We're hungry. He said cookie cutter and all of a sudden, I was kidding. If they're cookies in the shape of records, I'll eat it.
Cookies over here.
He really has a candy bag. Trick or treat.
Yeah.
What do you got there?
I don't know. Take yourself.
It's the 99th episode. We need to celebrate.
Hey, this is fancy chocolate.
Matt has fancy chocolate. Oh my.
Yeah, serious stuff.
Thank you so much.
You ate the grape one? Oh, man.
Tootsie Rolls in here.
Flavored Tootsie Rolls. Listen, that is a wrapper of fancy chocolate. We're going to take a minute to quit talking about cookie cutter heavy metal bands.
Some fancy chocolate.
Thanks, Matt. Would you like to acknowledge the 99th episode and make your third appearance on the Sound Atlas?
This week, I guess.
Hey, thanks for letting me use your store and all.
Anytime, man.
You're a fancy business owner.
You know that you have the open invitation to do it here.
I know. Maybe the next guy will have that, too.
It's a good spot.
Kirby's cool.
Good energy.
You're a good man, thanks. Matt.
Hey, you're a good man. You're a good man, too.
I hit all the cool heavy metal in the classical section. I'll come back and get it later. That has become a great inside joke.
Yeah,
you have to listen to Mellow Matt's episode part two to get it. Cookie cutter heavy metal guitar players.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I hate talking down on any of that because,
well,
like
you know,
there's a lot of people who really
some
like
people
it.
Just you but, know, you can do it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people who just have like a really set idea of what they want to sound like.
Right.
And so you get rid of a lot of like the kind of creative piece of making music in the process.
It's,
you know,
it's an influence thing. Mm-hmm. It's a current day mood thing. Like, it's a lot of things, you know. But you had a vision in your mind and could probably sense it prior to even knowing what it truly was.
Yeah.
You just knew that that wasn't working for you.
Right.
But at least you gave it a shot.
Well, and it was a blast. Like,
and but like you said, you're coming from a smaller town with slim pickings on the musician scale, right?
Yeah.
So but you just kind of did what you could.
You kind of start playing with that, and that's how I got linked back up with the guy I'm playing with now in Cloud Ruler, Bruce.
Oh, great.
The drummer. So it was like, I definitely don't look down on that at all. It was a lot of fun, you know, playing with those guys and everything.
Right.
So it was a good experience for sure.
Well, as time goes on, we all look back on bands that make you cringe a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did I do that? I did it for all the wrong reasons. Well, but I mean, me and so many people I know can relate to that.
Yeah.
You just want to play music.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you just kind of take what's in front of you just to play, because sitting at home and watching TV isn't always the option.
Right.
You would rather play in a band you're not that into, or at least fit in and do some things with, like, cover bands and stuff.
And it, just anytime playing with different musicians, if you're open to, you know, so you can take a lot, you know, pick up a lot from other people, even if it's not something you think of, like, this is, like, definitely my thing. You know?
Well, and when you're young, too, you know, you still have a lot of road ahead, so it's kind of like just something to do and
keep
get you started. It's more appreciation of the launching pad as opposed to looking back and cringing. Mm. But I cringe on some of the stuff I did.
You know,
just a little bit.
Yeah. It's all worth it in the long run.
You said you were about 18 at that point.
Yeah, 18 or 19.
So what year was that?
That was not long ago.
oh, shit. You're one of those.
I'm 22
like
now.
Last week.
So it was
a whopping
3 or 4 years
ago. Yeah.
Woo. So it feels longer ago, if that means anything.
It does, and I can relate to you on that. Yeah. But I did a lot of drugs when I was out there, so I forgot most of it. People point out to me that I get too personal on my youth. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I'm just being honest.
You should talk freely about it.
I smoked a lot of pot.
You know?
And I'm still here.
Still here.
Bye, Matt. Be mellow.
Did you know that name?
What? You're a top fan of the Sound Atlas?
No, of Girl Tones. It says on Facebook.
I got number 1 of 20. I'll have to check. I should, because I like every damn picture they put out.
That's so funny.
Kenzie's here, by the way.
Yep.
Kenzie Crow of the Girl Tones is here blasting her favorite Jack White record and Blunderbuss. And it's interesting that Kenzie's here working tonight, because you and I ran into each other at Tidballs.
At a Girl Tones
from,
show.
Yeah, just a few days ago from as we were taping this. The Girl Tones killed
faux show. Yeah, they were awesome.
It was a great show. It was Dan Luke and the Raid, and it was Crush, which I had not seen yet.
Yeah, that was my first time seeing them.
Absolutely fantastic.
Love Crush.
I met all four of them before they took the stage and talked to Drew, I think is his name. I was like, yeah, we gotta do a show together.
Yeah,
because I love that raw heavy factor.
Oh yeah, Crush is
great.
Killer. They're like, we played a house show, and they were the last band to play.
Oh.
And we ended up playing, like, another surprise show that night, last minute, so we had to miss them. And I felt so bad. I wanted to see them so bad. So it was cool to finally get to see them. They're killer, man.
But since Kenzie's standing, like, right there, I'm just going to say, yeah, Girl Tones are so awesome.
Yeah, Girl Tones.
I bought their cassette tape.
Yeah.
They only had 20 copies. And there's one more left, but as the time this airs, that it will be long gone. Maybe I'll buy that one too. shit, where were we? Oh, you're 18. You're in a band, and you're still in Princeton.
So, at that time, they were
like you said, that was like two weeks ago
in Madisonville.
Okay,
which is a little bit closer. It's kind of a middle ground between Princeton and Bowling Green.
Okay,
a little bit closer to Princeton. So I was traveling there. And that's when we started playing a lot in Evansville and stuff.
Right. Evansville is known for a really decent music scene.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's also kind of like the hidden gem. I've met people from fucking Indiana that don't even know Evansville is part of it. It's weird.
It's a cool town.
It's a really cool town. It's like the only thing in the state of Indiana I'll even like acknowledge and go to. Like, I don't mind it. I hate the rest of the state.
No, I hear you for sure. And we met a lot of like cool bands playing up there.
Yeah. I've played there several times, and you know, that was years ago, but it was great. It was a really cool vibe. I think river cities seem to have a cool thing, especially when the club is on the riverbank.
Right.
And the Ohio River and the Mississippi, I mean, they're huge.
Right.
They just give off this really cool vibe.
For sure.
And there's a lot of history there. And there was a couple of clubs on the riverfront that I thought were just great.
Yeah.
So I really liked Evansville. And it makes sense because the piece of Kentucky that you're from is a very, like, little, tiny, weird-shaped kind of area.
Right.
And so Indiana's close, Illinois is close, Missouri's close, and Tennessee is very close.
Yeah, kind of right there.
Yeah,
all
it's
packed together.
You could go any of those directions and a very short distance of driving.
Right.
So I would assume that your band was doing things of that nature.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I think the reason we ended up in Evansville so much is because there's a lot of metal bands down there playing a lot of different kinds of heavy stuff.
Right.
Like I said, we played in Clarksville, and we'd make the occasional. I think we went to Louisville twice, but you know, there's a lot right in there. If we probably would have stuck with it a little bit longer, like you said, in those big packed area of states, we probably could have found.
It takes
a lot.
Time to build things and meet people and all that stuff.
And we played out for probably a year.
What was the name of this band?
It was Dear Madness.
Dear Madness. Okay, you've already said that. I'm really on my toes tonight.
But it's, you know.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's your starting point.
Right.
Did you have, like, any, like, garage bands prior to this? Did you have a lot of wood shedding, or did you just kind of learn what you needed to know and immediately start playing in a band?
Well, like I said, like, we would put together kind of just loose groups for a show here and there that would pop up with, like, buddies I went to high school with and stuff. Or just, you know, hanging out and jamming, but in
so
terms
it was like
of
cutting
like a,
your teeth, but also experimenting at the same time.
Yeah, there was never like a solid, like, this is the band, this is, you know, we would write a song or two and then kind of, you know, go our separate ways or whatever, but there wasn't a set project until that.
Okay.
So.
Well, once Dear Madness gets rolling, you said it was about a year.
About a year, yeah.
Of total time. And did you all do anything outside of just playing? Did you record?
There is one EP floating around out there somewhere,
like 10 copies,
something like that.
But like a homemade kind of EP
thing? We recorded with a guy in Cape Girardeau who did some of the bands that we met in Evansville. I think that's how we got in touch with him. His name's Jack Daniels, actually.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's wild. But he did a good job with it.
I hope you bought him a Coke.
We totally missed that opportunity. But no, he was a cool guy. We worked with him, and he does a lot of like real hard-hitting kind of metal stuff.
Okay, so he understands that element of
things. That's kind of his, you know, bread and butter. So.
Good. Well, is it online, or was it just like hard copy?
It's on, I think it's on YouTube and stuff.
All right, great.
I wrote one of the songs on it, so I can't claim, you know, I kind of joined later on when they were already in that process.
See, I'm missing key elements.
Yeah, that's my bad. I'm kind of jumping around.
Come on, man. What do you think I'm doing? I'm interrupting your interview to get candy.
Oh, you're chilling. Hey, it's good candy.
Hey, it was really good candy.
But
That was like French.
Yeah. Fancy stuff.
That was like super nice. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
You're awesome. You're so mellow.
I jumped in when they were kind of going through some member changes and stuff, and I kind of just started off, joined, because I was like, yeah, I'll do this for a little bit, and ended up having fun with it. A lot of the songs we ended up writing that we were playing mostly, those never got recorded, so.
Don't you hate that?
It's a bummer, because there's some really fun riffs in there, but. You know.
I always feel like you lose it, because it's kind of, it's there in the moment, and it's fresh.
Yeah.
And then after a year, you're like, how'd that song go again?
Yeah.
And it's like you've lost the the raw nature of what that song was and how cool it was because it was never captured.
Right.
So that, I hate to hear stories like that.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. You know, you still got the...
But it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. You're right. You know, everything
you got
should
a studio on your phone.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. You have no excuse.
It's true. So you're coming into... You're 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You are still in the Princeton area, and this band lasted for about a year or so. What is your next step from that?
So in the process of, like, while that band was going on, I ended up moving to Bowling Green for school.
So you came here for Western.
Came here for Western.
All right.
And I was still
making
that
Toppers.
Trip. Go Toppers, yeah.
Yeah, wave the red towel.
That's right.
Get your head eaten by Big Red.
Oh, yeah, if you're lucky.
And what else is important? Oh, if you see a white squirrel, make a wish.
Yeah, there you
go. There we go. Those are the three Western things.
Yeah, I didn't see a white squirrel for like the first 2 years I was there and then started seeing them.
I see them all the time. It's so freaky.
Weird.
Yeah.
I thought it was just made up forever.
No, that shit's real. It's freaky.
Yeah, for sure.
And I want to bitch a minute because I wanted a hat. From the store that is inside the carcass of what used to be Night Class, but the dead corpse of what Night Class used to be is the Western bookstore, and they have hats with a white squirrel on it, not related to the beer company, but just the Western Kentucky version of the white squirrel, and I really want one of those hats.
Yeah.
And they're $30 and I was like, you know
store,
what?
Man.
I don't want it that bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, Western bookstore. Since I gave you a shout out, maybe you should give me
this
a hat.
Free hat. Come on, it's the least.
I'll wear
do.
It all the time,
yeah.
Even when I'm on MTV.
There you go.
Yeah, because everybody watches MTV.
These days,
I am fucking up your interview bad.
Oh, you're shy.
I'm really excited. It's the 99th episode.
It's the 99th episode.
I'm excited.
It's big shit.
I just had chocolate. I'm all jacked up. it's cool.
Yeah. For sure. But yeah, so
usually when I tape these things here, like on a Saturday morning, I have to be really careful.
Yeah.
Because there's like 20 people in here.
Right.
And
they're trying to walk
you don't
the
know
table
if they
gingerly.
Like foul language and stuff. Yeah. So Kenzie doesn't care. There's a Striper record behind you, by the way. I can't. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Striper on record.
Huh.
And
that's
it's
a cool
been there.
Wall back here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Cream, The Who, The Beach Boys, Motorhead,
Dylan Records,
Bruce Springsteen, U2, and Striper.
Yeah.
If I took a picture of this wall right now and said, what doesn't belong? Holy shit. Okay. You come to Bowling Green.
Came to Bowling
Green.
Welcome
to Bowling Green.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then, so, I was playing with that band, and the drummer of that band, who was the drummer for Cloud Ruler now, that's how me and him got linked up again. We had known each other.
Yeah, you said
kids.
You knew he... Like years ago, right?
We had known each other as kids, yeah, and then he moved schools, and we didn't hear from each other for a little while,
right.
And then linked back up for Dear Madness, and then...
So you got good history together.
Yeah, for sure. Cloud Ruler was kind of born out of... Me and him were the only guys who would show up, like... I shouldn't say the other guys were late. We would get there, like, 30 minutes early for practice.
You cared just, more than the other.
We cared... No. Yeah. But we would show up, and it was always a matter of... Everybody would kind of start piling in, like, about 30 minutes after. So me and Bruce would just kind of start jamming around, and that's how, like, the first handful of Cloud Ruler songs came together.
Gotcha. Because you guys are a two-piece.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, we
two-piece bands are pretty damn cool.
Hell yeah.
If you ask me.
We...
Y'all need a bass player. I know one.
We've played as a two-piece for most of our history. That's how the album is recorded and stuff.
Right.
We've recently... started playing with Kai Rogers, who's played in the Rift around
right.
a year.
Which, before we started rolling tape, you mentioned Kai's name and that he's been jamming with you guys. And
yeah.
I interviewed Kai right here where we are sitting.
Good old Mill and Max.
Hallowed ground. Uh-huh. And I absolutely loved his story.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely so much respect for him and
sure.
everything that he's done with the Rift. And of course, when I met him, I didn't know that much about him, but I'd heard the band, I'd heard a few songs maybe at that point. And I've heard everything since then. Mm-hmm. I've seen him live, and it's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And he is a mega force of talent.
Oh, for sure.
And his... to move here because of the music scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first time I'd ever heard that, and it just absolutely blew me away.
He's definitely very, very dedicated, like, very on top of it. And he plays... Playing with Kai has been a lot of fun because he plays all kinds of different stuff and just has such like a, you know, a love for music.
He's like
and
a student of music.
He can, you know, he'll show it like we'll start playing a song me and Bruce played together forever and it's like it becomes a whole new thing, you know, because it's like you have another member who's like actually taking careful attention to the songs. And
now
you know,
what is he playing?
Like, so he's playing guitar too.
Okay, so no bass player?
I've
or maybe
started
fiddle?
Playing a little bit of bass.
A little bit.
In some of the stuff.
You need a double neck.
Yeah, there you go.
Bass and guitar.
There you go.
Be whatever you want.
But I played, so I play a baritone. So
oh,
my guitar's
okay.
tuned down a little bit.
Gotcha.
So he plays, he kind of handles the more high-end stuff, and I stay
makes,
on the low-end
That
stuff.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You can do that.
It balances out.
What I love about what you guys are on the path of doing, and since... We'll pick on Kenzie again because she's standing there.
Yeah.
The future of what's going on now, it's really cool to be witnessing it.
Yeah.
As opposed to 5 years from now going, oh, man, there was these great bands. And when they first came out, you know, this is what they sounded like. And so, like, to see the beginning of things as opposed to getting it later on.
Right.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a
to
lot
be
of
a
fun
part of.
Just to watch how, like... bands start coming together and, you know, quickly start turning stuff out and just seeing that kind of evolution.
And you, you're a part of that, but you both, you know, have come from other bands that did things. You and what's his name? The drummer?
Bruce.
So to come from that and having a history, coming to this town, meeting a guy like Kai, who also comes from a background of music, came to this town because of the music scene. Also went to Western.
Right.
Western has spawned so many bands.
Oh, for sure.
That I think that conversation hasn't really been brought yet.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to hear it because I know that Government Cheese was born because the two guys met were going to Western.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like Bowling Green history.
Yeah.
And every band, no matter what age or generation you are, needs to know that. Like, that's very key, important fact of our music scene. So that's an interesting topic for another time.
Yeah.
I would love to try to build a family tree of bands that came from our town that had either somewhat success on a local level or actually exploded and did bigger and better things that were born because members met in
at
college.
Western. Yeah. There's probably... just so much to that, like I
would think so.
Have no idea about, but it's definitely a cool spot. And like the music program in the time that I've been there, the guitar professor at Western, John Martin, is like
he's a wonderful man.
One of the best teachers I've ever had. I would say the best teacher I've ever had personally.
Yeah.
For music or anything, I think I've gotten a lot from him. And I think Kai would probably say something similar.
He did. He actually mentioned John's name in his interview. Mm-hmm. And John has a very beautiful story involving this town and his history of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've witnessed him live on many occasions. Right. I have actually played drums for him a few times.
Right on, yeah.
He's phenomenal.
John's great.
And just a key, another key piece of this music scene. And someone that is older and wiser that hands the torch down to guys like you and Kai that bring it up, you know, 20, 30 years in age difference, but yet we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I think, like, even as long as I had been playing off and on, I never really looked at the instrument in a new way until I started... you know, studying with John.
So John opened your eyes up to the
absolutely
things you hadn't tapped into yet.
Yeah, and it's like we would play, you know, he would do like classical pieces or something around that area that you have to do for the school, And he always has such a good spin on, like, well, you know, you can use this kind of technique, like, or this chord shape or something, and always finding a way to incorporate it into, like, other kinds of playing. So just being able to see, like, oh, I can take this influence from anywhere in the style of playing that I have fun doing. Like, it doesn't have to be strict, like, okay, now I'm playing a blues song, now I'm playing a country song, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's, like, super valuable lesson for any musician.
He's not an old stuffy music teacher that goes by the book. Like, he understands music from all perspectives of all the generations and eras, and guitar-wise especially. I mean, there's just a gigantic kaleidoscope of people and sounds and ways that it can be played. I mean, it's just it's incredible.
Yeah, and I would say that's definitely, like, the most important thing I've gotten from him, and probably just in general the biggest piece of, you know, music advice I've ever gotten. That I
the most important
really
professor on that hill.
That's right,
John Martin,
for sure. For sure.
Fight me
loud and proud.
he's a really cool dude too,
for sure.
Well, you come here for Western.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously taking classes in music with John Martin. Wow, we just covered that. Once you got here, were you already connected with your buddy and playing music? Or did that happen? Okay.
So,
did I miss that, or did you actually mention that?
I think we were jumping around a lot. That was probably my bad.
But, no, it's okay. It's probably me.
No, we're chilling. I was playing in Deer Madness as I moved here for school.
Okay.
So we had, like, kind of just linked back up.
Did he come here too?
No, so he still lives in Madisonville.
Wow, okay.
So we're kind of,
but that's not too far.
It's not too bad, no. It's about an hour.
Right.
So not too bad. We still can play shows here pretty regularly.
Right. But as far as practice, how do you do that?
We practice in Madisonville.
You do?
So you make the trek.
Mm-hmm. And then he makes the trek here to do the shows and stuff. Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah, and it's been fun. It's also, like, me and Kyle were actually talking about this last time we went, because it's, you know, he's been coming with me lately, and there's a lot to be said about, like, on that drive, just whatever you have on in the background, just whatever kind of music can, like, sometimes our practices just go in totally different directions based on that,
that's,
you know,
weird
hour of just, you know, whatever you're tuned into.
Yeah.
So it's cool, just, you know, how much kind of almost subconscious stuff comes out.
Right.
You know.
Well, so the band is established
out
of the ashes of the two of you just moving forward as friends and having that connection.
Yeah.
What have you done since the formation of this band, and where did you get the name?
Okay, so the name, I'll start there. Me and Bruce, when we started playing, a lot of our lyrics and all that stuff are kind of just off-the-wall fantasy stories and related to video games and stuff.
Of course.
So when we first met, yeah, for sure, we first met when we were, like, little kids, and the biggest thing at the time me and him really bonded over was the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, this video game.
Okay.
And there's, like,
I'm so old, I don't know what that
it's
is.
It's, like, a 2006 game, I think. But
2006.
There is a, like, secret temple in the game called Cloud Ruler Temple.
There you go.
So that's where we got the name from. And it just kind of stuck.
Why did you drop the temple part? That actually sounded pretty
cool. I don't know. We
cool.
just stuck with Cloud Ruler. I don't know. We'll have to revisit that.
No, actually, Cloud Ruler is really good. I was curious what that would be.
It's
in the modern day of vaping and people blowing out a storm cloud of their mouth. I was like, I wonder if that means you blow out a giant cloud and you
vaping.
Rule the person that it goes around.
No, I don't know. We do get the stoner rock tag thrown on us.
But musically, it fits, right?
I think so.
Would you say that
fair.
Your stuff can float in that category?
For sure.
Okay.
I think that's fair. We're not, like, particularly super
you don't
heavy. We're
go
not
for
super
it every single song.
Yeah,
not
but there's that's definitely the underlying.
Your roots and your
thing.
Influences of music of that nature, as
for
far
sure.
as you as a songwriter, will pop up every now and then.
Yeah.
But you're not afraid to try other things. And
yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's still most of what we do is based around, like, just groove based riffs, which is kind of the whole, you know, stoner rock thing.
And right.
That's, you know, wherever that is, that's generally my favorite kind of stuff.
Cool.
Just that, you know, really groovy riff based kind of
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. I like it. So what have you done since has taken hold?
We've played played a lot here in Bowling Green, a little bit in Nashville. We recorded an album with Jared McKinney
yes.
at Nightmare House.
Nightmare House. Woohoo!
The man, the myth, the legend.
Everyone's recorded there but me.
You got to do it.
I know. I keep telling. Dude, when I see him, Jared. I always tell him, I promise we're going to record with you, but right now recording at home for free is very nice.
Hey, yeah.
No, and I don't have any, like, I don't have to worry about time. Mm. That's very nice.
Yeah. No,
I love the stuff that's come out. Him and Max Erskine both.
Right.
The stuff I've heard from both of them on a local perspective of the younger generation of people, it's outstanding. And because they get it.
Right.
The guys and the bands and the artists that come into their studios, they relate to and they can clearly give them what they're asking for.
Yeah. I think Jared was like a super, super helpful part of like our process of putting everything together. Yeah.
He's built a really nice equipment setup and studio. And
he's just got a good ear for stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we would like run through something and, you know, it'd feel okay. And Jared would be like, yeah, it's, you know, give it another shot. Try it, you know, just kind of shake it off. Try it again. And it's just the whole thing of like, I think even when me and Bruce didn't realize, like, that wasn't our best take. Mm-hmm. Like, Jared would always, you know, have, like, the right way to put it to get us, like, in the right headspace to...
Well, it's one of those things I learned years ago is you can record anything and go, ugh.
Yeah.
That was awful. Sure. And then you wake up the next morning and listen back to it, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, you don't always catch it when you're right in there.
So you're always going to be your own worst critic. So it's good to have someone with an understanding and a knowledge and knowing that if they captured something raw and good, you're not going to be the first one to know that.
Right.
But they're going to know it immediately.
Yeah.
And that's what's good. And I'll tell you this, and I'm not going to be afraid to say this.
Go for it.
You want to know why Tidballs Live is so fucking good?
Why is that?
Because Jared McKinney is usually behind the board.
Jared's awesome. Brian is also killer.
All these years I have gone there and seen bands, it's because Jared and Brian White and Eric Curtis and Blake, they understand levels of things, you know, and they're all musicians, they're all extremely talented music people, and they're all different generations of musicians,
right?
But they all had one common thing, and that was being able to capture the best sound out of such a small room with various bands, various drum sets and sounds and amps. And but I have not really experienced a bad show at Tidballs in the last decade.
It's always great. I think we went, I think it was Brian who was working the soundboard that night, but when we saw Sleeper Agent, that New Year's Eve show, this is one of the best sounding shows I've ever heard. But yeah, no, Jared was there the other night doing the Girl Tones.
Yeah, he did the Girl Tones and Crush.
Sounded great.
It was awesome.
It was awesome, yeah.
It was awesome. And I was on all perspectives of the room.
Yeah.
I was over here by the stage side. I was back here by the front door. I was up at the bar. Yeah. And I mean, I was kind of like all over the building. And it's just...
Shout out to Jared.
Jared's
awesome. We love Jared.
I absolutely love him. And he's such a nice person. And a true gem on top. Him and all the other names mentioned. And I definitely want to give another shout out to Max Erskine.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never met him.
Really?
But I've bought records he's done, and I'm a fan of his work.
Yeah.
And so, even without knowing the guy, I'm going to give him huge amount of accolades because he deserves it.
Oh, yeah, Max is awesome. He did...
Our scene's in good shape.
Yeah, I think
and the
so
future
too.
Is looking unbelievably bright right now.
It's exciting to watch just some of the stuff coming up. It's been a lot of fun to play with, like...
And you're a part of it. Like, you're in the perfect boat right now. You're at the right age. You're in a great band that's making steam. You've gotten a great recording in the right place where it belonged. I mean, can it get, you know, hopefully it does get better, but can it get any better? I mean,
it's kind of a trip. We've seen a lot of support. Like, it's been really, really good playing around here. Like we were just talking about of the whole just the energy of the music scene, mm-hmm. just the kind of people who come out and support around here. It's awesome. Right.
It is.
It's super cool.
And you guys are about a year into it mm-hmm. at this point. When did that come out, and what I know I'm not 100% on the details, but so, I'm aware of it. Was it an EP?
It's a full album.
Oh, it is.
It's like 18 tracks.
Holy shit.
It's a lot of music.
I didn't realize it was that much.
They're mostly on the shorter side. So okay. It's 18 tracks and about 50 minutes.
Wow.
That we did with Jared. And that came out in November of last year.
Okay, November 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud Ruler, available on all platforms.
Right.
Mostly online?
Yeah.
Did you release hard copies?
We have. We need to get some more.
I don't have one.
I'll get you one.
This is why I don't know what I'm talking about. I know this band, and I've heard some stuff, but I don't have your record.
I think we've got like 3 CDs left right now, so we're definitely behind.
Hey, I know a guy that really needs one.
But I will hit you up, man.
No, this is a good problem, man.
I will get you one for sure.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, dude.
Well, we ran into each other the other day, and we were talking about doing shows and stuff.
Yeah.
When you did get going and the momentum was there, I mean, mm-hmm. you clearly just hit the ground running, right?
Yeah.
Did you play Tidballs and mm-hmm. do anything else locally speaking?
We played, so just before the album came out, we played the Sinkholes Halloween show.
Oh, that's right.
Which was a fucking blast.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I've been to the last two or three, I think, and I missed this last one.
Right.
And I'm pissed because it was the last one.
Yeah.
Well,
it was fun, and Sinkhole's awesome.
Yeah.
That's like been, since I've come here, like one of the coolest spots, I think.
Wonderful, just vibe.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I've never had a bad experience there.
Yeah, and the Halloween show.
I've seen some of the greatest concerts
yeah.
in the basement of a house on Kenton Street. Yeah. I would have never thought. Here's a neat fun fact about the Sinkhole Sanctuary. My great-grandmother lived directly across the street.
Oh, right on.
Now, this is when I was, like, little.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she died when I was 3. Mm. So, in 1977, 78, 79, I have decent memory of playing on the front porch of that house.
Yeah.
And fast forward to 1996, I was in a band called Jupiter Mary that practiced in the basement of the house next door to the Sinkhole Sanctuary.
Dude.
And those are my two connections to the Sinkhole Sanctuary.
You got it ready.
I never played there.
You put the energy in the basement, man.
I'm Bowling Green to the bone.
That's right.
But really cool venue that was there. And the Trash Queen has emerged from the Sinkhole Sanctuary. And I absolutely love following that on Instagram. I love what she does.
Yeah.
It's great.
For sure.
But sorely missed, rest in peace, Sinkhole Sanctuary.
Peace.
I know that they were trying to find someone to rent the house to keep it as a house show kind of vibe. The neighbors seem fairly cool with it, I guess. But as we are taping this, that has not happened. And I don't know if it will.
We'll see. But
hopefully something else comes along.
Yeah.
Because Bowling Green, again, has another storied history of house shows and legendary bands that have played in like houses around the college area and all that stuff. And you got to be a part of that.
We did, for sure.
What a great way to get into the scene.
Yeah, it's been, I think like over the last couple months even, there's been some new house shows, like house venues pop up too.
Yeah, the Dino Den is something new, but they don't have, they got kind of shit on, I think, about volume, and so it went from full-blown band shows to poetry readings.
Still
an
awesome.
Acoustic night. Is that right, Kenzie? There's there's something else I heard recently. I don't know where these places are because they advertise them, and I don't know where they are. Like, because it's someone's house. It's an apartment, you know? So, I mean, that's cool. You got to respect that and not blast it out because you don't want the whole world to be invited to the... Because that douchebag jock is going to walk in and... underage drinking break a window. Exactly. So
for sure.
We're not gonna let that guy in. That guy in?
Who do you know here, man?
You gotta have a monitor at the door to stop all the douchebag jocks from walking in.
Yeah.
You're gonna ruin the show, man.
But
I love this, though. You've played Sinkhole Sanctuary. You've played Tidballs. Where else locally?
We played, let's see. So we played some Rockies a little bit.
Right.
Played the A-Frame.
Rockies is the great white buffalo for me. I cannot get in there.
They've had, I don't know the whole story. I don't think they've been booking as many bands recently.
Probably not.
But it's a fun place. It's really cool.
From what I've heard?
Yeah.
I played it when it was the original Three Brothers, but that was years ago.
Right.
But that's where it was, you know, before it moved down two buildings or whatever the hell it is.
Mm.
But, yeah, I figured you guys had played Rockies.
Yeah, that's where we played our first show.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Good.
So, and that, like I said, that was in November of 18.
Right.
So
off to a good start.
My birthday, actually.
Happy birthday! We get some more candy back here?
Come on, man.
You've played out of town a little bit.
A little bit,
so
yeah.
Have you hit Nashville and all that stuff?
We've played another house venue there. We've played Springwater in
Supper Club and Lounge.
Springwater Supper Club
Legend.
And Lounge. Yeah.
Legendary.
For sure. It's a really cool spot.
It survived Prohibition.
Yeah.
Do you know the history on it?
Yeah. There's supposedly, there's rumors that like Al Capone gambled there.
Yeah. It's a very old establishment.
It's a cool, They say, I know it's the oldest bar in Nashville, I think.
Yes.
There's rumor whether
now,
or not
yeah,
it's the
was,
oldest bar in Tennessee.
Yep, yep. I believe that's correct.
But yeah, so we played there. We played the Inn.
You know what that means?
One show. What's that?
It's haunted.
It probably is. Haunted by old mafia ghosts.
It's haunted by all the bands that stood around watching the other band play that were going, where's the crowd?
Pretty much. I think, like, we talked about that not long ago. I think you said you play there for the picture.
You do. Which, you play there for the picture. You're on this stage. It's got the iconic red. What is that?
It's just this big, like
glittery wall, whatever that shit is.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
But it is.
It's like giant pom poms.
Yeah.
Strands, and they're red and silver.
Yep.
And if you play the Springwater, and a friend of yours is a phenomenal photographer.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, my friend Cindy was there last time. And they get a great photo of you on that stage. You can go, fuck yeah, dude, we played the Springwater.
Played the old
it's
bar
like
in Nashville,
legendary.
Baby.
And it's like a great photo, and it's got a great background. And you're like, I mean, there was like two people there, but hey. Nashville's funny to me. It's a fickle place.
It is.
You would think going to a city with a gigantic city and a college like Belmont and Vanderbilt, and you would think all these raging, angst-filled kids would want to hear some cool live music. That's not the case.
Nashville's in a weird spot. I think it's grown a lot recently.
It's sophisticated.
It's super expensive.
They don't go out
now
to the shitty clubs anymore.
Yeah.
They go to really top-notch studios to learn the art of recording so that they can become engineers and make lots of money.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, nothing at all wrong with
that.
But
it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah. Go to the shitty bar.
Live life.
See some good bands.
Go to a shitty bar and see some cool bands.
For sure. That's, it's the heart and soul of it all. It's always the most fun, like...
The true people get it.
Yeah,
and they
just
still
the
go.
Dive bars and, basements where you
yep.
see all the best bands, you know?
It is, absolutely.
So...
But you guys are off to a great start.
Yeah, thanks.
Being a local Bowling Green based band, which is, I'm sure, something you're proud to have that badge for. But to already begin the traveling aspect of what can we do around this area.
Right.
You've clearly discovered that path. But again, you're only a year or so old and you're just getting started. So
it's been fun so far. Everything we've done, just had a blast doing it, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I think that's why we've been, playing in other bands and stuff. There's a lot of, there's a lot that goes into it that is kind of work aspect, setting a lot of stuff up and all that. Yeah, kind of.
Just a little.
As long as you've got,
you're with the right people.
We're playing music that's fun.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the biggest thing that's kept it all.
Well, don't lose
together.
That.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us, including myself, can look back and be a little disappointed in the fact that you let money and fame, the idea of all that shit, kind of mess up your judgment of things.
Mm.
But I had to rediscover the fun factor,
right?
And I'm in that mode today.
Yeah, dude,
and it's
awesome.
Been great.
that's like the biggest thing. And I think there's a lot of Bowling Green bands like that, mm-hmm. where it's, you just go and it's like such a fun show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can go see these bands, you don't know a single song by them, and just have a fucking blast.
Well, that,
you
happened know, with Crush.
Yeah, that's how Crush is.
When I was
sure.
at Tidballs recently and yeah. Crush went on stage, it was, I mean, I heard the name.
Yeah.
I knew what was up, you know, mm-hmm. and all that stuff, but I hadn't seen them live. I haven't really yeah. even heard a song yet. And they started playing, and I was absolutely floored.
Yeah.
And so, overwhelming amount of inspiration coming off of these young kids.
For sure.
Playing their debut at Tidballs, and it was like, damn. You know, it makes you want to, like, makes you feel young again.
It's sweet, man.
Yeah.
And Crush is so cool, too. They're like a heavy band, and
it was heavy with groove. Like,
yeah, it's
it was
got a
one
groove.
Of those.
Different songs yeah. sound different, you know. I think there's a lot of, not to go back to the whole cookie cutter thing, but there's a lot of heavy bands
don't say cookies,
who just get caught up.
You know, Pizza Hut's next door. I think they got some cookies. You want
you
pizza?
Shouldn't have said that.
All this time I've done these things here, I've never ordered a pizza.
But
that's shame on me.
Shame on you, man.
Pizza the Hut.
Yep.
Now I'm really, really hungry.
For sure.
Well, where do we go from here?
I don't know.
So you've got Kai Rogers in the band now,
yeah.
like full time.
Yeah.
So he's going to balance the Rift and Cloud Ruler.
Right, from okay. what I understand. Yeah. So we're, well, from what hopefully. I don't know all of his personal stuff. But yeah, I
that's
think
true.
The Rift.
But even
is
if Kai
out.
Was like, did it for a minute and then said, I really need to focus on the Rift.
Yeah.
You guys wouldn't mind because you already had built something.
Right.
So it wouldn't
right.
really take anything away.
Well, and I think that's kind of where we're all at with it. It's like, you know, like I said a minute ago, as long as it's all fun,
right.
we're all
well,
at,
you're moving
we're
forward.
All, yeah, we're all
so it's
fun
not a matter
we're
of,
going to keep going.
Yeah, you can
it,
do
so
that or you can do a three-piece or a two-piece.
Right.
But it's not about that. It's the fact that obviously you know him, your friends, mm-hmm. you all wanted to be a part of that together.
Yeah.
And so there you are.
Yeah.
So you got started as a two-piece, but now you're a three-piece, and that's
right.
where you are.
That's where
and
we're
hopefully
at.
New music will be coming in 2020 and beyond.
That's the plan. That's
yeah.
the hope. We've, you know, still been writing some stuff
mm-hmm.
and, you know, jamming on some new stuff. And especially with the addition of the new member, you know, we
right.
get some, there's always some new energy there
right.
to work with. So hopefully some
yeah.
new stuff in 2020.
Well, you got the right people, it sounds like, to
yeah.
do a really good thing. And clearly your talent level's off the chart.
Oh, come on.
I've heard some stuff. I haven't heard the whole record, obviously. I didn't realize it had 18
we'll
songs
you.
On it.
We'll get you
but,
hooked up.
But I think it was Revolution,
mm-hmm.
I believe, played it. Is that right? Like,
I don't know.
Back in the
they
fall?
They probably did when we first put it out. I'm pretty sure they did when we first put it out. We were going to do a...
It should have been where I heard it, because I don't recall it being on the other stations. Did you
yeah.
send anything to Bratcher or Tommy?
We did.
You did?
Pretty recently. But
see, maybe...
I don't
maybe
think
The
we,
Edge played it, not... The local show played it. I don't remember.
Well, I do know. I'm pretty sure Revolution, or I say I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive Revolution played
yeah.
when we first put out the first single.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to all the radio stations,
yeah.
but I listen to Revolution, like, religiously.
Yeah.
Like, 90% of the day,
yeah.
if I'm around a radio, that's what I'm listening
it's
to.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
it's great.
Cool people working on it. So.
And you're on it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's even cooler.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So clearly Cloud Ruler is moving into the future
mm-hmm.
and you have a wonderful band and a vision and you're going to see it through
well,
and you will
so,
conquer
yeah.
and dominate this music scene.
That's the plan.
And the Girl Tones
taking no prisoners
and Cloud Ruler need to do more shows together.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
El Astronauta.
Kenzie wants to play like every week.
That's
kind of
where
I'm kind of in that boat too.
Yeah.
I'm old and I want to do
good,
it, but I have to be
another good
to
problem
limit.
To have.
It's not a bad problem. So stay tuned, Sound Atlas listeners, for an announcement of at some point Cloud
yeah.
Ruler, Girl Tones, and El Astronauta will do a show together.
Wait for
because
it.
We're all hanging out together in Mellow Matt's Music and More.
That's right. The place
and there's
to
nobody
be.
In here but us. Take whatever you want. Hurry up. I want all the Pat Benatar records.
Oh, good call.
All of them. Thank you. You just gave them to me?
Just like that.
Man. Matt won't mind at all.
No.
He's handing out
he's
candy.
He's cool, dude. He's mellow. Candy, he's not going to care. He's like,
yeah. Yeah, he's just gone.
You're like, Dean took all the Pat Benatar records. That's cool, huh? Maybe he'll bring them back because he'll realize they're not that great. Just one hit wonders. So many. All right, off track, but let's get back on it.
Okay.
One question I like to ask about gear is what are you... You said you use a baritone guitar.
Yeah, I'm playing a baritone.
Okay.
It is it's a PRS, which I, for years, wouldn't even look at.
I understand.
For, you know, whatever reason, but I it's...
It like... It took a while for it to become cool.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, it was more of like the Santana guitar.
Yeah.
High-end model, like fancy music, VH1 music. You'd see the guitar player playing a PRS guitar.
Yeah, real.
And then they became cool
around
the 2000s area.
Yeah, I think they've branched out a lot and just trying. So the guitar I play is like a kind of a one-off thing they did. Oh. And it's like they're... more affordable line, and it's a baritone, it's semi-hollow, and it has P90s in it.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a little different than what PRS normally does, but it's still got a lot of the same like construction. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing
They have
that.
A unique body shape.
Yeah.
And everybody, if you see it, you immediately know that that's usually a Paul Reed Smith, or it's a knockoff version. But, yeah. I think they're good guitars. I've always heard the argument of musicians that are of the higher level, the touring bands, the successful people, would come to these guitar techs at trade shows and ask them, you know, I love Gibson, I love Fender, I love Dean, I love all these brands, but the pegs don't hold up good, or the bridge, I don't like the... Like, you want to take a guitar and... change out parts and make it perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're like, their number one question would be, what can I get stock that is dependable, sounds great, looks great, feels great, and I don't have to think twice about something going wrong with it.
Right.
And the guitar techs of the industries all say Paul Reed Smith.
Yeah, I've had, this is like the one I'm playing now. I picked it up to try it out. Just kind of on a whim and just got really into it. But yeah, it's really good, like workhorse, dependable instrument.
Right.
And the biggest thing I thought is like, I thought for a long time, like Paul Reed Smiths are like just expensive.
And they were,
you
know,
for
a long time, they were
a
very high end deal. Yeah. And like in the '80s, there was a brand called Carvin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, they looked bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you were a shredder, you know, they were great. And but they were extremely expensive, beautiful mahogany, you know, guitar. Like, they always had that fancy, fancy look to them.
Right.
So it was one of those kind of things.
Right.
There's always that company.
That company.
That company.
Sure.
But most smart companies have low line to expensive line. And,
well, and I think the biggest thing is like, you can get a pretty good, like, quality, really dependable workhorse guitar for not that much money now.
Right.
So I think a lot of brands who in the past have, like, only made, you know, couple grand guitars, like, you know, you're starting to see some more competition where people are making, like, affordable stuff that's just, like, fun, you know, just trying different stuff out.
Right.
So, and that's kind of where the... what brought, like, drew me to that one PRS was just kind of weird, kind of funky.
We're starving artists for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Because music isn't, you know, you don't make money at it, really.
Yeah.
And so I find it ridiculous that music stores expect guys that can barely put gas in the tank to come in and buy a $1,500 guitar, you know.
Right.
But, you know, that's the way it works.
So I'm running that through, I play through two amps.
Right, because of the sound status, you have to have...
To kind of balance out. So I play through, one is like it's a little 15-watt Egnator, just kind of like a general, you know, rock guitar sound. And then the other amp I run through is actually a keyboard amp.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a big 15-inch speaker.
Yeah,
and it's
so
just,
it's got like the fat tone to it.
I just kind of crank the bass and the volume, and it's like my clean sound to kind of, We can't really replace a bass player. I think you're, you know, kind of playing a losing battle trying to do that, but just trying to round out the
I still think music in general, it's not that people are forming bands without a bass player on purpose. Not everyone's out to be the White Stripes or the Black Keys, even though that did spark kind of a revolution in having a different approach. It doesn't always have to be the same.
Yeah.
And you can do all these amazing things without... But to me, I look at a two-piece band no different than a solo artist.
Yeah, for sure.
You can have a guy walk on stage with a guitar, especially in today's modern era, of they play the chord progression.
Yeah.
They stomp a pedal, and it plays it over again.
Yep.
And so they're looping their own rhythm section to where they can just sing and play little melodies on top of it.
Yeah.
That's a basically a two- or three-piece band right there. It's no different. If you close your eyes, you wouldn't know.
Mm.
You would not know the Daddy Sisters was a two-piece band if you closed your eyes.
Yeah,
he's got that shit down to a science.
Yeah,
you know, I really can't stress that enough. The sound alone is massive.
Yeah.
And then Cloud Ruler's a two-piece band. Black Gold's a two-piece band. Mm-hmm. Girl Tones are a two-piece band. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's a trend. It's just what's presentable.
Yeah.
You guys have what you need, and it works, and so you go with it.
Yeah, and you can always, like, we just try to, like, you know, we end up scrapping a good amount of stuff because it's like, eh, this is cool, but it's not really working with this setup. So it's like, if you just sit with it long enough, you'll find stuff that's, like, it still fills the right amount of space, even if it doesn't, isn't like a, you know, full, super big band.
I like lower volume members because it's easier to babysit.
Yeah. I understand.
I love being in a trio because it's like I have to call two people.
Yeah.
And I was at one point I was in this band, it was a five piece band, then they added like a keyboard player, and just getting everyone to agree on when to practice was like a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm stern on three piece. And then to see two-piece bands, I'm like, man, I'm proud of you guys. You can do it better than that.
Yeah, man,
it's the way to go.
It's the way to go, yeah, however you want to make it work. It's also, you know, worth noting, it's fewer ways to split the check, you know?
Well, of course.
It's a lot more easier to fund, of course. So. And that's, you know, obviously not the reason we do it. It's not like
we're
kicking
not,
people
but
out. But
it's easier if you get paid $200 at a gig and a three-piece band gets paid $200.
Yeah.
You make more money.
Well, it helped us. Like
I'm
going to
quit playing bass and fire myself and just play guitar. And
but it's
I'm
like
going to be a two-piece.
We were able to fund our album a little bit easier and quicker because of
all that.
And so it's like there's something about the nature of it. It's easier to move faster.
Of course.
And the writing process, you have...
Well,
two people to agree.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you know what you had a vision and you've set out to do it.
It
you're
all
doing
moves.
It.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's very
for
cool.
Sure.
Well, I dig it.
Thanks, man.
And again, I'm kind of new to this.
Yeah.
But I'm usually when I interview people is when I dive in the rabbit hole, learn more about you as a musician through, I learn more about you and your music. That's what's been fun about doing a lot of these podcasts.
Oh, I'm sure,
So it's like I get to know the people I don't know very well.
Mm-hmm.
And like Garrick Patrick of the Young Romantics.
Yeah, Young Romantics.
I didn't know who the hell he was.
Mm-hmm.
Reached out to me, said, hey, I heard about this thing. I want to do one. Okay, great. And I do the interview, and the next thing I know, I'm a huge Young Romantics fan because it's like, wow, where did this band come from?
They're cool, man. We played with them a handful
of
times.
I've learned so much about them, and they're just fantastic. But, I mean, again, it just says a lot about our town.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, the further you dig into anything, just you realize, like, there's a lot more going on than it, you know, initially seems.
Yep, absolutely. Well, speaking of that, on that note of local music, best way to wrap these things up is to ask you the awesome question of who are you a fan of, and you can say past or present, even though you haven't been here very long. Past or present, who are you a fan of and who out there inspires you?
Off the top of my head, give another shout out to Jared McKinney. I really like Full Frontal Saurus. I think they're a blast.
Have you heard Penny Sheets?
His
little side project,
Jared's solo
that's
stuff.
Amazing.
He's a super creative guy.
Unbelievable. He was in a band called True Crime for a short minute.
Yeah.
That was off the chart.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
I agree. I have a lot of respect for him.
So we're just going to turn this into a huge love fest for Jared McKinney.
We're going to build a statue out of butter.
Shrine to Jared. But yeah, I would say Full Frontal is like my off the top
okay.
number one pick for bands in town. But there's a ton of people, just the longer we play, more we play with.
It's like you knew about some, but you're discovering more and more as you're involved.
For sure. It's been cool. I know I keep saying this, but to see some more hard rock stuff. You know, mm-hmm. you guys are playing El Astronauta, some of the Girl Tone stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like really cool high energy stuff.
Right.
In town lately.
So that gets your buttons pushed.
Yeah. If nothing else, I'm like, let's go out and play some more. You know, there's a ton of cool ass bands to play with around here. Let's keep
absolutely.
It going. So.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
Anybody else? I know there's a lot.
Well, I'll throw in the Rift, too.
We have to.
With Kai, because we started playing with them a lot early on, mm-hmm. And they're a ton of fun to listen to and see live, especially. Crush has been lately really cool. We played a show with Daddy Sisters at Sinkhole.
That's right.
They're a blast. Like I was talking about earlier, just the energy and the fun of like a live band. They for sure get that.
Right.
But yeah, and then some of the earlier stuff before I came, some of the bigger stuff like mm-hmm. Morning Telly,
right.
Sleeper Agent, like we talked about mm-hmm. a little bit, some of those guys. So.
So you've done a lot of like looking back and like maybe some homework from people that are from here and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. There's and a lot of that too, like I'd you know, still, even being as close as I was, just didn't know it until you get over here, and then you realize, like, these bands are huge.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot that comes out of
it. It's a lot bigger, I think, than some people know.
Yeah.
And it definitely has a bigger impact on a lot of more people than I think a lot of the bands ever even realize. Because it's not like you walk up to them and fanboy everybody, you know.
Right.
But I mean, deep down inside, it's like you just want to spill your guts to these people and be like, you have no idea how much your music means to me, and your band got me through a tough time. Your band inspired me to write this song, and mm-hmm. I saw one of your shows, and I was in a bad place, and now I'm doing this thing. And it's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, for sure.
Best way to look at it.
It always, it just any kind of like really, you know, good, honest music,
right.
I think is probably better than just about anything. It kind of just opening new things up for people.
Yes,
you know,
helping much better than fake music
in a new way. And yeah, much better than fake music, for sure.
Which would be Britney Spears, available here at Mellow Matt's Music and More.
There's some good Britney Spears
right next to Britney Fox. Two of the greatest Britneys of all time.
Greats.
Well, Richard Adams of Cloud Ruler, thank you so much for meeting me here at Mellow Matt's Music and More and Beyond.
Thanks again for having me.
Where all Bob Dylan records are free.
That's right. Hope you didn't want any Pat Benatar. It's all gone.
Yeah, Pat Benatar records are hard to get, so you get a little pricey. But Bob Dylan, man, there's so much Bob Dylan in here right now.
Yeah.
You can have it. And I'm looking at Striper and God We Trust on vinyl, which is interesting. They have Kiss Animalize, which I always want to say Caramelized.
Mm.
I don't know why. They have a couple Iron Maiden records. You see the wall down? Can you see that?
Barely.
They have some Kiss and Iron Maiden. Mm. Mellow Mass Music and More is where you come to get cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
And if Matt likes you, he will let you sit in here and talk to random musical involved people for a year and a half, which is what I've been doing. And I'm almost done. So you got to be a part of the 100 episodes of the Sound Alice. Congratulations,
honored.
Sir.
It's been a lot of fun, man.
What episode were you, Kenzie? Like 40 something? Do you remember? Did you even listen to it? You didn't even listen to it.
I did.
You're so busy. Well, thank you, Mellow Matt, for letting me do these here. I'm not done. I still got a few more to record, but this being a pivotal moment in the Sound Atlas, I have to give a shout out to 99 episodes.
Show some love.
Take one down, pass it around, and you get Jared McKinney's episode.
Hey.
Somewhere deep in the... He was one of the first people
to
be interviewed on this. Did you know that?
I think so,
Jared was like in the episode 2 to 6 range or something like that. I'd have to look.
We've come full circle to the episode.
But we have definitely come to an end on your episode, and I am very thankful for you taking time to meet me here and talk about your music, your history, and what is the future, you know, has in store for you. I think you're off to a great start.
Well, thanks, man.
And Cloud Ruler seems to be the next one of many next big things. But this episode will actually air prior to the show, so you all are playing at Tidballs live on the lot.
Yeah, we
kickoff
are.
Mm-hmm. Weekend. Is that right? Is that how they've worded it?
It's the
kickoff.
The Buzzworthy Bands.
The Buzzworthy Bands. Yeah. It's you and Crush.
And Perfect Spread.
And Perfect Spread.
Another
That's right.
really cool band around town.
They're all cool.
They're all cool, man.
There's only one shitty band. And it's mine. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No way,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're happy.
Oh, yeah.
We released a new music video today.
Hell yeah.
I'll throw that out there. I gotta throw a little me in there.
Oh, yeah.
El Astronauta has a music video for Sugarfoot.
Go watch it.
It's cool. We filmed some of it at the skate park.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's very, very fun.
Yeah,
and the dive in Cave City. I got to give a shout out to the dive. Hey, Kenzie, you know the show that we played together at the dive? We had some filmed footage of that end up in our latest music video. You can see it on 120 minutes on MTV tonight at 2 a.m. Tonight.
For real?
No. MTV doesn't show videos. For real. We're way off course, but we are at the end. Thank you so much for meeting me here. Good luck to Cloud Ruler.
Thanks again for having me.
Good luck to you with whatever the future has in store. Just keep doing what you do.
I'll do.
Bye.
See ya.